Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, The Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, Text Number 20 to 22. Yarimo Loka Palasya Putro Bhutva Tama Putau Na Vivasa Sam Atmanam Vijanita Sudoramado. Yet, because Imao, these two young demigods, Lokapalasya, of the great demigod Kuvara, Putrao, born as sons, Bhutva, being so, they should not have become like this. Tama Plutao, so absorbed in the mode of darkness. Na, not, vivasasam, without any dress, completely naked. Atmanam, their personal bodies. Vijanita, could understand that they were naked. Sudoramadao, because they were very much fallen due to false pride. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. These two young men, Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, are by fortune the sons of the great demigods Kubera. But because of false prestige and madness after drinking liquor, they were so fallen that they were naked, but cannot understand what they are. Therefore, because they are living like trees, the trees are naked, but they are not conscious. These two young men should receive the bodies of trees. This will be the proper punishment. Nonetheless, after they become trees, and until they are released, by my mercy they will have remembrance of their past sinful activities. Moreover, by my special favor, after the expiry of 100 years, by the measurement of the demigods, they'll be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, face to face, and thus receive their real position as devotees. Revive their real position as devotees. Purport, a tree has no consciousness. When cut, it feels no pain. But Narada Muni wanted the consciousness of Nala Kuvara and Manigriva to continue, so that even after being released from the life of trees, they would not forget the circumstances under which they had been punished. Therefore, to bestow upon them special favor, Narada Muni arranged things in such a way that after being released, they would be able to see Krishna in Vrindavan and thus revive their dormant bhakti. Each day of the demigods in the upper planetary system equals 6 months of our measurement. Although the demigods in the upper planetary system are attached to material enjoyment, they are all devotees, and therefore they are called demigods. There are two kinds of persons, namely the devas and the asuras. The asuras forget their relationship with Krishna, asuram bhavam ashritya, whereas the demigods do not forget. Dwau bhuta sarge loke smin daivam asuram evacha vishnu bhakti smrita daiva asuristad viparaya padma purana. The distinction between a pure devotee and a karma misra devotee is this. Pure devotee does not desire anything for material enjoyment, whereas a mixed devotee becomes a devotee, becomes a first-class enjoyer of this material world. One who is in direct touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in devotional service, remains pure, uncontaminated by material desires. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma dhiravritam. By karma mishra bhakti, one is elevated to the celestial kingdom. By jnana mishra bhakti, one is able to merge in the Brahman effulgence. By yoga, and by the yoga mishra bhakti, one is able to realize the omnipotency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But pure bhakti does not depend on karma, jnana, or yoga, but it simply consists of loving affairs. The liberation of the bhakta, therefore, which is called not just mukti, but vimukti, surpasses the five under other kinds of liberation. Sayuja, Sarupya, Salokya, Sharsti, and Samipya. Pure devotee always engages in pure activities, in pure service, Anukulyena Krishna Nu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. Taking birth in the upper planetary system as a demigod is a chance to become a further purified devotee and go back home back to Godhead. Narada Muni indirectly gave Manigriva and Nalakuvara the greatest opportunity by the so-called curse. So the translation again. These two young men, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, are by fortune the sons of the great demigod Kuvara. But because of the false prestige and madness after drinking liquor, they're so fallen that they're naked, cannot understand that they are. Therefore, because they are living like trees, the trees are naked, but are not conscious, these two young men should receive the bodies of trees. This will be the proper punishment. Nonetheless, after they become trees, and until they are released, by my mercy, they will have remembrance of their past sinful activities. Moreover, by my special favor, after the expiry of 100 years, by the measurement of the demigods, they will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, face to face, and thus revive their real position as devotees. As it explains here, there's a variety of devotees. Generally, there's pure devotees, and then there's mixed devotees. The demigods are generally considered mixed devotees, and even amongst the demigods there are different types of mixed devotees. The demigods are not generally under distress, but sometimes they are. And therefore they pray to Krishna that he can come and save them. So that's mixture is desiring freedom from distress. Devotees in the beginning also desire freedom from distress. Therefore, the two qualities of bhakti and sadhana bhakti are kleshagni and sudabha. Kleshagni means it frees one from distress, and then we find out that distress is caused by ignorance, is the root cause of distress. After all, if we don't realize we're eternal, then we're going to be anxious about our past and our future. But if we realize we're eternal, then if we're not in ignorance, then there's no question of worrying. Because the material world, whatever the arrangement may be, is still the material world. You can't expect much of the material world because it's just composed of gross and subtle elements, which are transformations of Brahman, giving the appearance of reality. It's real, but it's only temporary, always changing. And therefore, eternally, the material world will be ever changing. in an ever-changing environment, it's not possible to find security, and what to speak of happiness. Therefore, if we realize we're eternal, then we have nothing to worry about. It's called abhayam, fearlessness. And when it's fearless, he can be patient. And when it's patient, one can actually hear from the authorized sources and experience real knowledge. And by becoming, applying that knowledge in one's existence, one can get the full mercy of Krishna and therefore experience complete happiness. But as long as we're in anxiety over the material existence, then it's not possible to be patient, and therefore our hearing will be rather limited, what our mind can actually hear. Hearing is not just trying, of course, one symptom of hearing is that we can remember. Obviously, some things, if we hear, we remember them immediately, because we're actually involved with them emotionally. They not only enter into our consciousness, but they enter into our memory, our subconsciousness, because we're emotionally involved in them. If you see something very emotional, either very horrible or very attractive, then it's remembered very easily. Just like if you watch a movie and you like the movie, you watch the whole movie, you're absorbed in the movie, it's hard to forget the movie. Then the movie plays over and over and over in our remembrance, because we've actually allowed it to enter into our consciousness, whether it be a spiritual movie or a material movie, still, because we get emotionally involved in it, therefore, it enters into our consciousness. Similarly, if we hear about Krishna, if we're not overly emotionally involved in it, if we don't take it very part of our existence, of our lives, if we don't see how it's really related to me, it's very hard to remember it. And yet, other things that we're more emotionally involved in, we can't forget. Therefore, ignorance of our relation with Krishna is the root cause of all suffering, because if we don't have a relation with Krishna, well, we've been seeking since time immemorial relationships with so many material things to get involved in. Now they're even trying to get people involved in robots, because they're not so much emotionally involved with people, and maybe they may be emotionally involved with animals. But the next stage is they're trying to get them involved emotionally with a robot. Of course, you can't take birth as a robot, but you can get pretty close. So Gajendra is the example of distress, someone who, devotee of Krishna, who out of distress prayed to Krishna for help. So similarly, the demigods, because they're in the Vali concept of life to one degree or another, they also take shelter of Krishna sometimes and pray for his assistance against the asuras. But generally the demigods are on the platform of trying to enjoy the material world, so which is also under karma, trying to enjoy their senses, trying to enjoy their heavenly planets where they're living. And generally they live out their lives as demigods in those two things, either trying to enjoy or trying to seek protection. And practically 99.9% of the people in this world, that's all they're interested in, either seeking protection or enjoying. Therefore easily manipulated by anyone who has a little bit of understanding how to manipulate people, how to motivate them. Jnana, a little bit of knowledge, not very advanced knowledge, but a little bit of knowledge, they can manipulate the mass of people who are simply interested in protection. So if they're induced to become afraid of something, they easily take shelter of people who are offering them protection, even though that protection may be just like a dog trying to cross the ocean, and you grab hold of his tail, you're not likely to make it through the across the Atlantic Ocean, trying to ride on the tail of a dog, because the dog is not going to go very far, and you're not going to go very far either. But it may seem that at least the dog is going forward, so let me try. Maybe it'll happen. But it never happens. So jnana, some of the sages are on the platform of jnana, inquisitiveness, trying to find out what the truth is. And then when they understand that the truth is that we're eternal, trying to realize the truth through the process of jnana or yoga. So, in that way, they may come to the stage of the four kumaras and become liberated from material conceptions of life. And then, if they're fortunate, they may come in association with a pure devotee and realize their relation with Krishna, as servants of Krishna. In any case, it has to start somewhere. So these demigods, they're in the heavenly planets. Obviously, they were not jnani demigods, nor were they bhakta demigods. They were not even karma demigods. They were actually working as asuras, not following any regular principle. And therefore, they were bound to get more and more into distress due to their sinful activities. Or at least their time as demigods was going to be very, in the heavenly planets, was going to be very shortened anyhow. Demigods can't remain in the heavenly planets if they've become asuras. So that was unfortunate because these two boys had become sons of Kuvera, a very elevated demigod, and instead of taking advantage of that situation, they were becoming degraded. Just like Narada Muni, in his previous life, or at least one life, he was Upabara, a very beautiful demigod. And there was a festival. And at the festival, all the important demigods was there, and Upabara was there also. But he decided to go off on the side and chant some romantic songs about the demigods to all these beautiful apsaras and other demigoddesses that were there. So that's not allowed in the heavenly planets. That would be very disruptive. It's like people think we're being disrupted by chanting Hare Krishna on the street and spoiling the sense gratification. So in the heavenly planets, it's considered disruptive to engage in sense gratification and spoil the devotional atmosphere. So either it's a devotional atmosphere or a material atmosphere. The demigods are not so full that they allow both of them. They know one is contrary to the other, and they don't exist in harmony or peace. Similarly, when the devotees start thinking, let us compromise with the demons, and they'll be pleased with us. We don't want the demons to be pleased with us. We want the demons to become devotees. It's not that we have to become asuras in order to please the asuras. That's the only thing that will please them until they become devotees. Then they'll be pleased by devotion. Just like sometimes they suggest that we send our children, or even the devotees suggest, to the materialistic schools and give them a chance to taste, experience what materialism is. And then afterwards they can become devotees if they want. But we never hear the materialists say, let's send our children to Gurukul, let them experience devotion, and afterwards if they want they can become demons. The demons never said that. Devotees are so fools sometimes. They think, let me train up my children as demons, and then later on they might become devotees. They never become devotees. No, not serious devotees. Therefore, patience should be learned. Of course, nowadays, everything is immediate gratification. No patience. Soon as the urges of the senses are there, mind of civilization is thinking that this is the absolute purpose of life, is to gratify them as soon as possible. In America, at least, you can order pizza, and then they have to deliver it. They have delivery pizza here also? Probably. Yeah, I guess they do. Yeah, they deliver. And they give the deliverer 15 minutes to reach the destination. He has to hop on his motorcycle with the pizza, risk his life so that people can't get their pizza on time. And if they can't deliver on time, then the pizza's free. So the people are praying, let there be traffic. We can wait another minute. And the person delivering the pizza is risking his life. So it's before 15 minutes. So this is completely absurd, but this is modern civilization. Everything has to be immediate. Children are trained up from the beginning of their life to watch. Parents don't want to deal with them. They don't want to bother with these kids because they're like little animals. So they put them in front of a TV, and the TV hypnotizes them. And the main hypnotism is to get them to intensely desire some useless toy or food or whatever, and let, just like Gajendra the cock, crocodile, hoo-hoo was in, as an elephant was in the water, and the crocodile with his jaws got hold of Gajendra's foot and wouldn't let go for 1,000 years. So the children hypnotized, brainwashed, into intensely desiring something, and they latch onto the feet of their parents. They bite onto their parents' feet, literally speaking, and wouldn't let go until they finally get it. That way, business goes on. So that's what the senses are like. They latch onto our mind, into our heart. They won't let go until we agree to fulfill that desire. And then after we fulfill that desire, then the desire only grows more. It's like throwing gasoline on fire. It appears to go out, but with the fuel of the gasoline, then it blazes even more intensely. Or scratching an itch is what Prahlad Maharaj said. It may appear that if I scratch the itch, I feel some happiness. But after a while, then there is, if we stop scratching, immediately it becomes even more inflamed. Therefore it's advised, Krishna says, Matra Sparsha Sukhandiya Shitoshna Shukaduka Da Agama Paino Nityastam Titiksha Svabharata. Just try to tolerate without being disturbed, that these desires will come and go. So even the heavenly planets, the ladies there, they are very attractive. They try to excite the lusty desires of men. And sometimes they succeed. The men think, I have to gratify my desires immediately. I can't live without you. And then they become fallen. And they wind up back in this earth planet, Kali Yuga. So even the demigods have to be tolerant, but they're, and even if there is gratification of the senses, it's regulated in the heavenly planets. It's not unregulated, or else one becomes degraded, even as a demigod. Anyone becomes degraded who doesn't follow regular principles. And anyone who does follow regular principles, they become elevated. Even Hiranyakashipu, tolerating the urge of his senses to such a degree that he didn't eat or sleep or breathe or do anything for literally 120 years of the demigods. And therefore he became the object of Lord Brahma's mercy and he got his benedictions that he wanted, at least some of them. Therefore, some degree of tolerance tolerance has to be practiced and learned, and then our consciousness can actually think about Krishna. Otherwise, if we're thinking we're this body, then it's very difficult to be patient and tolerant. Unless we're like Hiranyakashipu, we're tolerant for some time to achieve some material benediction, some material situation, and then when we get that situation, then we want to enjoy. So, the karmis, the vikarmis are trying to enjoy, the karmis are trying to enjoy, the gyanis are trying to enjoy, the yogis are trying to enjoy, and ultimately they wind up in the same place. Insignificant enjoyment and a lot of difficulty, eternally. So one should learn tolerance, but with the idea of fixing the mind upon Krishna and practicing devotional service, not to achieve a material end. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, because you were speaking about patience, how do you develop patience and at the same time this sense of urgency that you have to do something? Like we can develop patience.
That's right. But that's not patience. that's lethargy. Well, patience means that we yadricha lava shantu sto dvanvati to vimatsaraha smak siraval sadocha kribapi nanabhadyate. One who's satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord, who's free from desire and does not envy, satisfied both in success and failure, is never entangled although performing action. So, one works, but is not attached to the results. One is attached to Krishna. Then one can be patient. The sense of urgency? Well, what are we trying to do? We're trying to spread love of God. So if we have love of God, there may be sense of if we're actually feeling love of God, there may be sense of urgency. If we're feeling our false ego is not satisfied because I'm not controlling sufficiently to change everyone in the world, that's just false ego. That's material. To become an instrument for Krishna is spiritual. To become an instrument or a false ego is material. We're not the saviors. We're supposed to become the instruments for the actual Savior, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's trying to spread love of God. He's not trying to force everyone by bending their arms behind their back to surrender. He's trying to get them to surrender through love. So if we're anxious to save everyone, we should do it through love. Otherwise, we'll just be working in our own false ego. And someone will have to come along and save us. Is that clear? A little bit. Practice. Anything else? So we should be anxious to improve our knowledge of how to improve our devotional consciousness. That we should be anxious for. And then everything else will follow. Krishna knows everything, so if we come in contact with Krishna, then Krishna will know exactly what to do to fulfill the objectives that we might have or that he has. Anything else? Khala, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.